license from CCLI number 14636. Welcome to worship at North Bourne Uniting Church on Sunday the 13th of April 2025, Palm Sunday. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven.
If we were to stay silent,
the stones would shout aloud.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This land is God's land, for which the Wurundjeri people have cared since time immemorial. We acknowledge their elders past and present, and we commit ourselves to the covenant between the Uniting Church and the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress. Our first hymn today is Together in Song 333, All Glory, Praise and Honour.
Children of Zion, as we sing, you seated. Let us pray. Together with the whole multitude of Jesus' disciples, life-giving God, we praise you joyfully for all you have done for us. In Jesus, you walked among us, revealing to us the peace of heaven and the glory of the highest heaven. On this day, we remember that he entered the holy city to shouts of Hosanna, and so challenged all regimes that rely on violence. We remember that he entered the temple and cleansed it, and so denounced all those who profit from the poor. In this holy week, we will commemorate and celebrate the meal of thanksgiving Jesus ate with his disciples, his washing of their feet, and his obedience to you, even to the point of death on a cross. We know that we are not worthy of the love you have shown us in him, but we also know that we do not need to be worthy, that your love is a gift of grace we need only receive with thanksgiving. Following Jesus' example of humility, we bring to you the times we have failed and fallen short of your intentions for us. God of grace, if we are so busy or so anxious that we do not pause to receive you when you pass through our life, if we are so sure that we will recognize you in your coming, that we refuse to be open to the way others may see you,
forgive us, O God.
When we choose to turn our faces away so that we do not see you, because that does not fit within our plans,
forgive us, O God.
If we have lost the joy of discovering your presence and are going about our life as though there are few surprises,
forgive us, O God.
If we allow our fear of what others may say and do to us to stop us celebrating you,
forgive us, O God.
If we look at the rowdy and raucous crowds that challenge the status quo and decide that marching towards Jerusalem is not really our thing,
forgive us, O God.
Forgive us, O God, and renew our life with you. We pray in the name of your Son, who died to show us your love.
Amen. Amen.
There is nothing we need do to earn God's love and forgiveness. God is never defeated by who we are. Receive the Christ. Receive the grace that is offered. We are forgiven.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now we listen for God's word.
Open my ears to your word. Give to my mind understanding. Guide my steps in your way. Make me your living word.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 to 48. When Jesus had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples ahead, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout out." As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." Then he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling things there. And he said, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching in the temple. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were spellbound by what they heard.
So the book I'm going to read you today is one I've read before, but it's particularly appropriate for Palm Sunday, which is a day when we often go marching. It's called Sometimes People March by Tessa Allen. Sometimes ants march. Sometimes bands march. Sometimes people march. Marching is something people do together when they want to resist injustice or when they notice the need for change. People march for many reasons. People march for things they care about and people they love. People march for the health of their bodies and their communities and the world. People march for the freedom to love and live and learn. Sometimes people carry signs to share their stories of resistance. People resist in many ways. Sometimes people resist with their voices. They might resist with words or with songs or art. People resist with meetings. They resist by standing up or sitting down or taking a knee. It isn't always easy. Feet get tired, arms get tired, hearts and hopes get tired. Sometimes problems seem too big or complex. But we do not march alone. Ants are stronger together. Bands are louder together. People are more powerful together. Sometimes from feelings of fear or anger or injustice comes the hope for change. Sometimes great change starts small with a brave question. Maybe your question, a question that calls people together. And together, we find the courage to march. The next hymn is Together in Song 665, Jesus Christ is Waiting. Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem for the Passover. Like pilgrims throughout time, Jesus' disciples rejoice as they enter the holy city, praising God for God's mighty deeds. But Jesus isn't simply another pilgrim. Luke's telling of this story makes it clear that Jesus is entering Jerusalem as its king. He sits on a colt that has never been ridden, one that's suitable for sacred purposes. Jesus' disciples set him on it, an act of homage, and the spreading of cloaks on the road before the colt is another act of homage to a ruler. The psalm that the crowd sings as they come into sight of Jerusalem has one small but significant change from the version in the Psalter. Rather than singing, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," the people sing, "Blessed is the King." When Mark tells this story, he says of the people around Jesus, they spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Matthew's version is that the people cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. John's telling is the most detailed. The great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna!" And it's from the Gospel according to John that today takes its name. Luke's telling of the story differs from all the other Gospels by omitting those branches. Carrying ivy-wreathed wands and beautiful branches and also fronds of palm was what the Jews did to celebrate their revolt against the Greeks in the 2nd century BC. By omitting the branches, Luke is making it clear that while Jesus is a king, his kingdom isn't the Jewish nation. This may be clear to Luke, but it probably wasn't clear to Jesus' disciples. As Jesus approaches Jerusalem, they are looking forward to a wonderful future in which he will declare himself ruler of the city and the whole nation. The Pharisees may be looking forward to the same future, but with dread. Jerusalem is occupied by a foreign power, and while some Jews are waiting for the king who will overthrow the Romans, others have come to terms with the occupation and don't want the status quo disturbed. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." Soon the Roman governor, Pilate, will enter Jerusalem for the Passover with his soldiers and chariots and gleaming armour to make sure that there's no anti-Roman uprising while the Jewish people are remembering their liberation from slavery in Egypt. To have Jesus enter the city as its king at around the same time is dangerous. The Pharisees who are warning Jesus may be concerned not just for themselves, but for him. In Luke's telling of the gospel, Jesus is seen to be on good relations with them. He visits the house of a Pharisee for a meal, and here the Pharisees address him respectfully as teacher. Uneasy at the commotion, they warn Jesus that it would be better if he entered the city more quietly. But Jesus ignores the Pharisees' warning, well meant as it might be. He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." The Messiah is entering his city. This event is so amazing, so monumental, that the city itself must acknowledge it in some way. If humans were quiet, the city's very stones would shout out in acknowledgement. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." The stones might know what's happening, but Jerusalem's human leaders don't. There's no further mention of the Pharisees in the Gospel. After this last warning, they disappear. Their role as Jesus' antagonists is taken by the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people. It's because he knows what they are going to do that Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. If only these leaders of the nation had recognized on this day the things that make for peace. But they haven't recognized that God has visited them. And so Jesus warns the city, "Your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another." Exactly what will happen in 70 AD when the Jews revolt against Rome. Their rebellion is brutally suppressed and the temple is destroyed. Brendan Byrne, who taught me New Testament, and so is a biblical commentator, I trust, says that Luke isn't portraying the destruction of Jerusalem as divine punishment, but simply as the result of the choices its people make. They could have chosen to follow the Prince of Peace. Instead, they will choose violence, first by demanding that Pilate release the murderer Barabbas rather than Jesus, and then through rebellion. Their violence will be met with greater violence, and Jerusalem will be destroyed. Even today, the violence of the crucifixion lurks behind the celebration. Jesus enters the temple and cleanses it, driving out all those who have brought money-making into a house of prayer. Last week, I said that in the Gospel according to John, it is Jesus' raising of Lazarus that had the chief priests and the Pharisees conspiring to kill Jesus out of fear that if everyone believed in him, the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation. In the Synoptic Gospels, it's Jesus' purging of the temple that prompts the conspiracy, but the motivation is the same. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people are afraid that any challenge to the status quo will only lead to more oppression. Their counterparts today include the members of the Palestinian Authority living in the West Bank, who block solidarity marches in support of Gaza. Like the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people before them, the Palestinian Authority is afraid that any challenge to Israeli occupation, the status quo, will make things worse. There's nothing new under the sun, and all the people of whom we read in the Passion narrative have their modern-day equivalents. As the leaders of the people, those who oppose Jesus are also benefiting from a status quo that has given them their leadership position. They don't want to see it overturned, so seeing that the people are spellbound by what they are hearing from Jesus, they plot to have the Romans murder him. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people choose violence. And if there's one thing that the world around us is currently making appallingly clear, it's that violence can only beget greater violence until people are willing to cry out enough and end the vicious cycle. One of my favourite Doctor Who quotes has the Doctor ranting at a human and a Zygon leader, and the Zygons are shape-shifting aliens, so just go with that, who are ready to go to war. And he says, "When you fire that first shot, no matter how right you feel, You have no idea who's going to die. You don't know whose children are going to scream and burn. How many hearts will be broken? How many lives shattered? How much blood will spill until everyone does what they're always going to have to do from the very beginning? Sit down and talk. But it's not enough for the weaker power to cry enough. Again, we've seen that in Israel and Palestine, when the Palestinian Liberation Organization signed up to the Oslo Accords, and the Israeli government used them to enforce more control over Palestinians, continued to turn a blind eye to the growth of illegal settlements, and kept Gaza under siege. The doctor talks of a scenario in which both sides have equal power and are suffering equally. But in most cases, the warring parties don't sit down and talk until the stronger power is willing to give up its advantage. In the crucifixion, it is the stronger power, God, who cries enough and responds to human violence not with punishment, but with forgiveness. In Jesus, God is willing to sit down and talk with humanity. In the incarnation, God voluntarily gives up God's power and authority to live as a member of the less powerful side. These are the things that make for peace that Jerusalem fails to see. Jesus enters Jerusalem as a king, but not a king who rules by military might and power. Jesus comes into his kingship through humility and sacrifice. Jesus submits to the most degrading death reserved for those who rebel against Rome, to show us that God is always on the side of the oppressed, not the oppressor, with the victims of violence and not the perpetrators. And then in the resurrection, God shows us that oppression and violence will never have the last word. We are about to enter Holy Week, when we'll remember everything that Jesus suffered and acknowledge the connection between the crucifixion and all the violence that humanity continues to commit. But at the end of this week, there will be joy. Amen. The next hymn has new words, but to a familiar tune. It's "Not on a War Horse, but a Humble Donkey."
Blessed is the one. we come to the prayers of the people. Let us pray. Blessed is the one who weeps for us and with us when we have lost our way. Blessed is the one who comes towards us in majesty and humbleness, down that ancient, twisted path, straight into our gated cities, locked up hearts. Blessed is the one who hears our shouts of joy, then endures our chants of betrayal. Blessed is the one who knows our limitations, who pours out his love for us, into us, so we can be guardians of truth, protectors of justice, architects of peace. Hosanna in the highest. We are inspired by your passion, ready to follow. God of joy, as we enter this holy week, we are reminded of the terror that this world can bring. When our own loved ones are misunderstood, mistreated, and deeply hurt, we are reminded that you have experienced the same thing. We are reminded that this world is so deeply heavy, broken, torn into pieces, beaten down, dried up. We remember that the people who we love in our families, communities, country and world are holding both grief in one tired hand and embracing joy in another. Remind us, Lord, that this kind of joy is not only the fleeting kind of momentary joy that gives us pause, but the type of joy which is a practice and is part of our embodied selves. The kind of joy within us that we carry with us alongside the truly awful. God, remind us of this joy that goes with us, just as Christians celebrate Palm Sunday and enter this holy week. Remind us that Jesus paused and reminded us that even the stones held joy. We lift up all of the hurting places of this world, as well as the places which embody this deep, aching joy. Joy that moves us to change, to love, to care. We especially pray for the whole world as extreme trade tensions continue to escalate. The people of Sudan, Haiti, Mali, and the occupied Palestinian territories where humanitarian crises continue as they face ongoing high levels of hunger and food insecurity due to the factors of conflict, displacement, and economic instability. For the many people who were taken away from their communities in the US due to deportation, the people of Myanmar left behind after so many dear lives have been lost. We pray for those affected by the recent deaths of several of your children in Ukraine, most of whom were playing in a park. God, may we always find you in all that we do, especially in all of the hurting places in this world. May you also show us your beauty. Remind us that you go with us into the most terrifying situations, as well as in the joy we carry with us into uncertainty. Hold us, and may we too shout for you and dance into your brilliance as we are reminded of the treasure of our faith, the embodied, undeniable gift of joy. May we carry you and shout your name in our hearts, now, today, and forevermore. Amen. Together, let us pray the Lord's Prayer in the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. During this Holy Week, we remember that Jesus gave his own life so generously, so that we might know how much God loves us. Let us respond to God's amazing generosity with our own gifts, offered now in gratitude and praise. Please stand if you are able. Let us pray. Generous God, may we rejoice in our ability to offer what we have, never boasting of our abundance or taking it for granted. May these gifts bless the lives of those in need. In the name of Christ. Amen. And our final hymn today is together in song number 348, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty.
Oh,
Few notices. After the service today, if you would like, grab your cup of coffee or tea and then come back, and from 11:15 we'll be hearing this congregation's recording of the crucifixion that has people like Maurice Mathers and Erling Moller as soloists. So please, if you'd like to listen to that, it goes for about 45 minutes, bring your drinks back in and listen. I won't be able to because I am heading off into the city to march, Palm Sunday march. Some of you were so eager to say goodbye to Louise that you turned up last Wednesday. In fact, it is this coming Wednesday between 2 and 4 that we are having a farewell for Louise. That is for everyone in the church, not just the Cumbrae people. So everyone is welcome to come and say goodbye to Louise at a special afternoon tea. And just a reminder, this Friday is Good Friday, and the service here of readings and music is at 10. We tell your story, we follow in your footsteps.
Lead us into Holy Week.
We walk towards the city, we wait in the garden.
Lead us onto holy ground.
We journey towards death. We hope for resurrection.
Lead us into holy joy.
And may the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be upon us and remain with us always.
Amen.